Second chapter. To Jerusalem. In the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, he also poured out the coins. In the temple, he found some people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." But he was speaking this. The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. And after he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace and peace to you from the one true God who names, claims, and sustains us this morning and every morning. Amen. I have a confession to make. I love to do the dishes. I really do. I love doing the dishes. I love rinsing them. I love placing them in just such a way to maximize the space of the dishwasher. I love slipping that little pot of soap in the little door and snapping it shut, pushing the buttons, closing that door, and hearing that hum of the dishwasher as I admire my work and the clean countertop. I love doing the dishes. But I have to tell you, that is not the confession. As you may have gleaned, I have a very particular way of doing the dishes. And my confession is that that particular way of doing the dishes makes me an occasionally unsavory housemate or spouse. Emily is not here to tell you she just brought the kids downstairs, but she will tell you that I have had to learn, I am still learning, not to reload the dishwasher after she has already loaded it. Right, babe? I am still learning not to grumble and grouch and make all kinds of not so subtle sounds as I am rinsing the dishes she did not rinse to my liking, right? I have had to learn that in order to preserve the goodwill and love of my marriage, I need to change my ways around how I feel about doing the dishes. I have learned and am still learning that I love my wife more than I love doing the dishes. The Oxford Dictionary defines the word self-righteous as having or characterized by a certainty, especially an unfounded one, that one is totally correct or morally superior. Other similar words are sanctimonious, holier than thou, self-satisfied, smug, pious, superior, hypocritical, goody-goody. Self-righteousness is perhaps one of the major or most, I don't know, strongest pitfalls we have as human beings. At its very least, our self-righteousness manifests itself in an eye roll from your spouse. Right? In some groan of frustration by your children. Right? But at its worst, our self-righteousness can manifest itself in hatred, violence, oppression, and even genocide. Self-righteousness is something we carry around with us all the time. Even as we try to do our best, someone plays a song that, I don't understand why they would like that song. It's not a good song. My song is a good song. I don't understand why she would do the dishes this way. My way is the right way, right? Very often we encounter the world, and we even encounter Holy Scripture from a posture of self-righteousness. And our texts today are no exception. You need look no further than the news these days about how self-righteousness colors the way we interact with the Ten Commandments. Very often we have used those beautiful set of rules, those set of guidelines, those set of calling words as a way to measure someone else against us. Follow these 10 rules or else. I follow these 10 rules. Why doesn't anybody teach anybody about these 10 rules anymore? About all the things we are not supposed to do. We as Lutherans have to recall the teachings of Martin Luther that describe these Ten Commandments not simply as rules, things not to do, but a way of living our lives in community and in worship and praise and love of God. These rules aren't just about do not steal, do not lie, but instead, what Luther uses in the Small Catechism, but instead, do not lie, but instead, be honest in your dealings. Do not steal, but instead, help to protect the belongings of your neighbor. Do not covet your neighbor's things, but instead help your neighbor to value them and to keep them safe from others. These are guidelines of our lives, but when we look through them in this self-righteous way, we have a tendency to point fingers at those who are not following those 10 rules. When we read about Jesus storming the temple, tossing these tables, driving out the money changers, we see, we have a tendency to think of ourselves aligned with, well, yes, they were doing it wrong, and Jesus had to come and set them right. By extension, we understand, we align ourselves with Christ as followers of Christ, as Christians, and we, at our worst, historically, have taken this text to mean we Christians know the right way to do it, and the Jews are wrong. As I said before, at its least, our self-righteousness may magnify itself in eye rolls and voices of this frustration, but at its worst, may find its expression in hatred, in anti-Semitism in this particular case, and in prizing ourselves over everyone else by seating ourselves with God and not with God's people. These rules, these messages, this book we call the Bible, this set of stories, of poems, of songs, of rules. This Bible is here to help God's people in their quest to live a good life, to love and trust in God, and to come together as a community founded in love, called to be a blessing to the entire world. This book, this Bible, this set of stories and rules and poems and songs is not meant to serve as a cudgel to beat those we disagree with. It is not meant to be used as a step stool for us to stand upon a head above the rest. This book is God's word to God's people, God's message to us, God's message to us. If we do not understand the Ten Commandments as direction for how to live our lives and only use it as a measuring stick to determine the goodness of ourselves against others, we do so at our own peril. If we see ourselves as the righteous follower of Jesus tossing those tables around, and we fail to ask ourselves if Jesus were to walk in these doors this morning, if Jesus were to encounter me today, what tables would be tossed? What priorities would be challenged? What practices, what doings, what self-righteousness might I be called to atone for? When we encounter the world with a posture of self-righteousness, we count our ways, our systems, our identity, our nation, our government, our church as being greater than any other. When we encounter each other with a posture of self-righteousness, we act with judgment against our neighbor. We deny their identity, their humanity, their very being. We are called to recognize the temple of Jesus' body. John's gospel does a nice way of helping us along the way, telling us what Jesus means. When Jesus was talking about the raising of the temple, John helps us and says he was talking about his body. We are called to recognize the temple of Jesus' body. We are called to recognize the indwelling of God in Christ, to recognize Christ's in one another. We are called to recognize that each of us, all of us, are beings created in the image of God, that we are all beloved children of God, and as our siblings in love, we are called to care for our neighbor, to see them and meet them where they are, not according to what where we think they ought to be, not according to where even we may feel that we stand. No matter how we worship, vote, identify, love, or even do the dishes, God loves us and calls us to love one another in the same self-giving way. We love what we do. We love how we do what we do. But we must always remember that we are called to love and trust in God more, and that we are sent out to express that love, to share that love with everyone we meet. no matter how they do the dishes, no matter how they feel about things we like or don't like, whether they are right or wrong, and whether we are right or wrong. We are called to love, for we are beings created in love. Let us go out and do as we were made to do. Amen. Thank you.